بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مولانا غلام مرتضی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ میٹھا پودوان شیخ گاٹ انٹرسٹڈ ان بیعت ریکویسٹڈ ہم ٹو ایکسیپٹ ہم فار بیعت. دا شیخ سیز ٹو ہم دیٹ یو نیڈ ٹو ریکنسیڈر میک استخارہ تھنک اباؤٹ اٹ کیئرفلی اینڈ دین یو کین آلویز کم بیک اگین. سم ٹائمز you act in haste and then you have regrets afterwards. A man has some expectation that if I take bayat then I will get some things, and then it doesn't work out like his expectations and his dreams. Then he feels disappointed. He thinks to himself that I had come in for this reason and I don't see it materializing. Then he begins to have doubts in the personality, he begins to have doubts in what he has done. And then this is the impediment, this is the obstruction on the road. One person came to Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and he says that I had taken bayat at your hands and really I didn't want to take bayat. But I was having some type of a chronic illness. And then they told me that, you know, you take bayat and things will come right. So I took bayat and I saw things improving. Now I don't think I should be continuing with this. So Mu'a told him, you know, hal jaza'u sidqi illa sidq. For the honesty, for your being honest, then the reward of your honesty is that I must be honest to you as well. From now it's cancelled, it's off. Your intention was something else. Intention was, now you've got a chronic illness, you take bayat, then with the barakat of that bayat, that illness is going to go away. So intention was something else. And when I am connected with someone, when someone relates to me, then I am looking at him with a different frame of mind. And you have come in with a different frame of mind. Now you have disclosed your real intention, so there's no need to keep this relationship. So hence it is important to know what you're coming in for. Many a times people don't know what they're coming in for. And dekha dekhi, he saw someone, and second person saw someone, and then they go in the line. One of Habibur Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to call him Ra'isul Ahrar, very famous politician, India, the time of independence. So he was on the side of the Congress and was quite popular. And for some reason, he felt he should take bayat at the hands of Hazrat Mulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he took bayat at his hands. Now Mulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's style was that those people that are coming to meet me, then you are going to pass through, you're going to cut through Saharanpur. As you're going to come across Saharanpur, then you must meet Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib and then come to meet me. So he should really feel very, very excited if someone went through Mawlana Zakariya Sahib and then came. And he would inquire as well, that have you met up with him? Now obviously with the Shaykh, you won't need to be in the right books, in the favorable books. So he also favors you, perhaps with his duas or with his teachings, whatever. But he may look at you favorably. So in order to get the favor, they used to go to Saharanpur. In the meanwhile, if you look at this Ra'isul Ahrar, Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib, he had some personal problem with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Shaykh now and then used to come to Dioban and he used to see that this Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib was very active in politics. And Hazrat Shaykh was very much not in favor of this. The person that's come to study, then he mustn't be in politics. He must do his studies, just commit himself to his learning, studying. He mustn't get involved in politics, etc. that would distract him from the main cause. Shaitan is looking for ways to distract the person. The plot of Shaitan is to distract. What else? Man ittaba'a as-sayda ghafala. The one that chases a game, the one that pursues a game, then he becomes unmindful. He becomes unmindful of what? Of the higher objectives. That's the focus now. The focus is to pursue a game. When the focus is to pursue the game, then he's going to move away from his real objective. So he'll forget about his obligations, he'll forget about Allah Ta'ala, he'll forget about his namaz, he'll forget about right and wrong, he'll forget about his wife and children, he'll forget about the duties that he has to execute towards them. All that becomes secondary. Main thing is now that sport, that game that I'm chasing. I need to get this. The hadith has spoken about one sport, that is game, right? Chasing game. In this age, you will find there's so many other sports, so many other games, so many other entertainments. That game is just one example, right? But in this age, you can extend the same analogy to so many other sports, right? Entertainment. Sometimes you're going for a boat ride, a cruise. Sometimes you're going for a holiday resort, right? But nowadays, an outing becomes the malls. Right? We'll meet you at the malls. That becomes an outing, right? And then, from one thing, it escalates to the other. You've seen, for example, Durban, you've seen the beach, Mschlange, all that. Now you want to go to something else. Then you want to go to, perhaps, the Bergs. On the Bergs, then you want to go to Table Mountain. Table Mountain, then you want to go to something higher. Then let me go to Disney World. And then one thing leads to the other, and you carry on. Your whole life carries on, just in pursuing game, some entertainment, some excitement. You begin to live for that. Now, a Muslim's life is too precious. If a kafir, if he does that, that's all right for him, because he doesn't believe in the concept of the hereafter. He doesn't believe in a thing like Jannat, Jahannam, Qiyamah. He doesn't believe in that. When he doesn't believe in that, if he runs behind all these things here, then you can understand why he's run behind these things. But when you have got a more noble objective, something much more higher, very, very great, very noble, very high, then can we be running behind these things? And then you get tired of these things here, and say, let's go for Umrah. So the Umrah becomes just an outing, just becomes an entertainment, just a pastime. And when you say it becomes a pastime, you can see it from the behavior, right? From the behavior of the person, you can make out that this person is really not interested in Umrah, just pastime. Now he's got a holiday, he's got a break. Then rather than going elsewhere, let me go there, I'll make some ibadat also, and I'll come back. So he's not going with the frame of mind that I'm going to do pure ibadat here. There's going to be a very small percentage, maybe 5-10% of the people that come there, that are coming purely for ibadat. Otherwise, shopping, some jewelry to trade in, get some new jewelry, some abayas that you still laid behind. You need to keep up with the right abayas and the right type of dresses and styles, etc. So you need to do all these things here. So the frame of mind is not for ibadat. When it's not for ibadat, then you're losing the spirit. You're losing the essence of the place. When you lost the essence of the place, you see that the person is coming back, is coming back worse than he had gone. That is why I say the statements of the old, many of the statements of the old are very, very useful, very beneficial. It keeps you in line. See? It keeps you on the mark. It keeps you in track. It keeps you in cause. But now all these things are for who? Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah should say repeatedly, by iske liye hai talib sidq ma'al fikr. And the third thing he would say, ma'at suhbati tawila. You need to get a color of this thing here. You need to get a taste of this. Then you need three things. You need to be an earnest seeker. your seeking also is earnest and honest. It's not just for by the way, you know. I'll go there, then it'll be a little bit of pastime, I'll feel nice, feel a little bit sukoon in the heart, and go back. So that's not the idea. The idea is honest. I come to earn something, search for something, something with an honest and a true heart, with a clean heart. I need to come for a certain goal. So that is supposed to be the first thing in the mind. I've come for some very higher goal. Right? That is the first thing. The second thing, ma'al-fikr, when you're coming in here, then it is with a focus, with a concern. Come in sincere, honest. Number two, and you've got a concern as well. I came with a concern. I didn't come here to pass time. I came with a concern, I came with fikr, I came with some for something. One Hindu had accepted Islam, you see. And it so happened that after he had accepted Islam, he had attended the local madrasa, perhaps in Saharanpur, and after he lived there in the madrasa once after asr, like it's usual for students to take a walk. So he was walking and he saw a crematorium, and he saw some yogis, etc., and they're performing, like some of them become totally naked. So he looked at them for some moments, and as he looked at them, and he's going away, now that motivation in him is all dead, is killed. See now, you look at yourself, sometimes your motivation to meet your asatiza, your mashayikh is great. And sometimes weeks pass, 2 weeks pass, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you meet him, don't meet him, is one of the same thing. That means the motivation in you is killed, is dead. And the motivation is killed for some reasons. Right? See, sometimes the wrong is very discreet, very subtle. And sometimes the wrong is visible. Right? Sometimes that ujub and takabbur comes into you and you don't even know it, you don't even realize that it is that ujub and takabbur, that self-admiration, or that pride has overcome you. Self-admiration, ujub, takabbur, pride has overtaken you. And you know how it's taken you. One person says, we'll come back to the story just now. One person says that, he says to Mufti Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that, you know, I've got a problem. I feel so hurt within me, that as though there's a thorny branch within me and that's being pulled out. You know, the type of pain that you will get. I feel that type of pain. So I heard him out for some time and then he asked, but I heard that there was some person that was connected to Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and then he broke away from him and he's going through some constraints. So now I'm that very person. He says that, see, I had connected myself with Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and our attachment grew very strong, very well, very strong. It was moving very well. I used to be his personal khadim. All the khidmat, I used to be doing it. Every khidmat, I used to be doing it. I was so attached and so attached. And then it so happened that after that attachment and all that, whatever happened, then I used to perform my namazes, my nafil namazes with him. So it was just me and he used to be reading it, performing the nafil namaz, I am behind him. And the ecstasy and the enjoyment that I used to get, I would think after I joined him, then I would feel, you know, now Qiyamah must come and end this thing up. This thing must end up and culminate with Qiyamah. It mustn't stop, it mustn't end. That was the enjoyment that I used to experience. Then it happened that everything began to deteriorate and it began to decline, fall down, fall away. One thing led to the other, one vice and led to the next vice, and the third vice, and there wasn't a vice that I didn't go and experiment. Every type of vice, every type of wrong that you can think of, I did everything. So where I was escalating and I was moving at a very high speed, a tremendous speed, now when I began to take a dip, and I went right to the bottom, rock bottom. When I reached that rock bottom, then I came to my senses, I wrote a letter to Allah Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah from today, I'm a different person. In the meanwhile, as the Mawlana tried and worked on me, when I explained to him that this is the wrong that I'm doing now, he put me into some exercise, some training, some mujahada, some penalty, to reach 100 rakats and 200 rakats, whatever. But whatever I was doing, it was not just working out, I was just going deeper and deeper into the ditch. And the types of mujahada I did, you may have heard of Abu Sa'id Gangohi, Rahmatullah Ali, and the type of mujahada he did under Nizamuddin Balkhi, I did things even greater than that. That's no comparison to what I did. And I began to take a dip. I went down. I just went down. I couldn't just come up. Right? Nonetheless, I went to Hazrat Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in all this commotion, all what I was going through. So I went to Hazrat Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and explained him my halat. So Mawla says, you see, what Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali did was the perfect thing for you. Because the heat within you was too much, you couldn't manage it. In other words, the thoughts of takabbur and pride, etc. was too much. Your mind was exploding with pride, with vanity, with self-admiration. Your mind was just exploding. So you had to release all that pressure that was in you, that pressure of pride, self-admiration. You had to squeeze that out of you. And in the process of him squeezing it out, this is what happened to you. You went down and down and down, right? Because what happens to us mainly, that when we see outwardly we're doing namaz, etc., then we feel the most perfect persons. But within us, the rot that is coming in, the decay that is coming in, that is setting in, we don't concern ourselves with it. As long as I'm doing my namaz, outwardly I am perfect, I am normal. The decadence, the rot, and the filth that's coming within us, we're not worried about it. Sometimes that thing is so bad, as the Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah says, that I had got up for tahajjud with my father, you know. We were in an inn, like a hotel you have in those days. So we were at the inn, and I had got up for tahajjud namaz, whilst the rest of the people were sleeping and we were performing namaz. So I was a young boy at the time, so I explained to my father, see, these people are sleeping like logs here, you know. They can't get up. So my father corrected me and said to me, that it would have been far better for you that you would remain sleeping than passing these type of comments to these people here. The path requires that you check yourself more than checking others. Now, you began to check others. As a result, there was nobody that was as good yourself and everybody was bad. See, now this is what happened to this person here, that admiration came into him. And the proof that that admiration came into him, he thought too much of himself. It's too high, see. It happens, a lot of things happen, a lot of problems happen. So you see someone aiming very high. You heard of, for example, you heard of Ibn Hajar Rahmatullah Ali, or you heard of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali now, such a high person. You said, now I must reach up to him. But hey, think now, yourself, your striving, your struggle, your intelligence, your ingenuity, etc. Think about it, and then compare yourself. There's no comparison. And you're aiming for that. When you're aiming for that, you're not reaching near the, say, no, it is not for me. I must work harder. Or my sheikh is not right. I'm not right, or the sheikh is not right. Or both of us are not right. See, so all those doubts will crowd into your mind. So this was what's happening with this person here. He thought that sheikh is not right, or he is too big. And then he's not reaching up to the high, to the right type of levels. When he's not reaching up to the right type of levels, then he's moving, shifting from one to the other. See, the pride, the arrogance, it's got the better of him. The right thing for him was to say, well, am I connected to the right silsila or not? In other words, the silsila, the chain, is leading up to the right type of awliya and buzugana deen. Inshallah, I'll get connected. One person, he had that charge, you know, to come right. So as the charge came in very, very strong, that I must go and get connected with Allah Ta'ala, get a better relationship. So he found out from some of his friends that I need to get connected. So they played a prank on him, all youngsters playing a prank. So I said, no, go to this person here. And that person also was going to play a prank, so it all worked out. So is this the time for you to come to make your Islam? You won't reach Allah Ta'ala, this time you come to me. Or you see that tree there, you won't irrigate and take care of the tree, and when that thing bears the leaf, and bears the fruit and the fruit is ripened, then you bring that fruit to me. Anyway, he heard this. Now, he was fired with that charge, you see. Other these words now, see. Talab-e fikr, talab-e sadiq, ma'al fikr. You must be honest. It must be concerned. And number two, ma'al suhbati tabila. You need to be there with your sheikh for a long time. Hatim Asam spent 33 years with Shakik Balkhi rahmatullahi alayhi. To receive whatever he received, he spent 33 years. How many years we spent? And from the years that we spend, how much time you give? He spent like as though, you know, he was like a branch of a tree, inseparable. Right? He spent that amount of time. So it's either pride overtakes us, self-admiration overtakes us, or we think, you know, that person that we are connected to, he's not right, or I'm too much for him. So all these thoughts here begin to crowd the mind. And the way it starts off is then you mixing up too much, seeing this person, that person, the 101 persons. And you mix up with everybody, you're comparing this one against that one, against this one. And I'm not going anywhere now, I'm not progressing. So then what's the need of striving like this? See? So all these thoughts here, now they gang up in your mind. When they gang up in your mind, then you get confused. When you get confused, you don't find the type of determination, the type of courage, the type of motivation in you. See, now this person is flying so high, and he took a dip. Well, the Qadir is warning him, see, this is what happened. You're flying very high, and that flying very high, that went into your mind. That I am somewhere. So Maulana had to squeeze that out of you. So he took you out gradually, he was taking you out. But you wanted things to happen straight away. And the world doesn't go like this, it doesn't work like that. Anyway, this person got lost afterwards. Allah Pak forgive him. But he got lost for a long period of time. He got lost. Perhaps he may have come up again to the cause, but for a long period he was lost. So we're talking of one Habibur Rahman Sahib, and as a Sheikh Ahmadullahi, he used to reprimand him. He's a student, as a Sheikh Ahmadullahi is teaching. There's a small, very small age difference. As a Sheikh Ahmadullahi used to see, when he used to see him, then he used to say, "Aise aadmi ko madrasa mein rehna haram hai." For such a person to be in the madrasa is haram, because you are eating and enjoying at the madrasa under wrong pretexts. You're doing politics and all that. And you're supposed to be a student. It's poles apart. Madrasa is something else. Politics is something else. How can you be in a madrasa and you are in politics? Not supposed to be in the madrasa. It's poles apart. So now he took it personally. See? That's what happens to a lot of students. Anything, you correct them now personally. It's a personal attack. Bhai, kis tarah se tumhari islah hogi? Everything now, the Shaykh has to be very, very considerate, you know. I'm sorry, you know, I did this mistake here. So the Shaykh also feels so ashamed to tell him, you know, sorry, it's not a very bad thing, not a serious thing. So now, how is he going to be corrected? I ask you, how is he going to be corrected? If the man that is working for you, he sold an item for 5 rand, it was supposed to be sold at 5,000 rand, then will you cover it? No, it's not too bad. Next time, just try and see what you're doing, you know. Or say, bhai, you see the door, you get out of here. 5,000 rand, you sold it for 5 rand. If I need to close my shop after 50 years, I have to close after 5 days. You're running me bankrupt. You take it very seriously. So the Sheikh has to see a long vision he has to have about the person. Anyway, Mawla Habibur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had to go past the Sheikh. Now he's going past the Sheikh. So he says to Sheikh, see, I'm coming to you on a Friday, and I'm going to go to Raipur. Perhaps on a Monday or something, I'm going to be returning. I'm going to ask you one question, and I know it's a very, very intricate question, so it will take you some time to understand the thing and to then find the answer. So I give you 4 days now. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. By Monday, Tuesday, you must give me my answer. What is your answer? What is your question? Question is this. Ye tasawuf kya bala hai? This tasawuf, you know, what calamity is this? I'm in the midst of this whole thing. I see the question that he asked. Ye tasawuf kya bala hai? This tasawuf, what calamity is this? The Sheikh said, no, you don't have to wait for 4 days. Take the answer straight away. See, the tasawuf is about niyat. Starting of innamal amalu bin niyat and ending up with ihsan an ta'budallaha ka annaka tara. Niyat, in other words, your actions are judged by your intentions and it's leading you to this point here, an ta'budallaha ka annaka tara. That you begin to worship Allah Ta'ala as if you are seeing Him with His majesty, with His compassion, with His love, right? Now that must become a perpetual state. So you start off with niyat and you're ending up at this point here. Anyway, this Mawla Habibur Rahman Sahib, he had to spend those days in Raipur, so he came back and he said, you know, I thought to myself, it's such an intricate question I asked you, and you're going to take a mighty long time to answer this thing here. But you gave me the answer. In 1 second, you just gave me the answer. You know, I've been there in that 5 days where I was in Raipur, and I was thinking, you know, all right, how do you look at it? What question, what objection? Is there any problem in this answer? Because I couldn't find a single flaw. I was looking at you critically, and I was trying to look for a flaw, but I found absolutely no flaw. It's absolutely clear, the answer. So this tasawuf, what it does, maloom ko mashhood bana deta hai. In simple words, that which was just an information, right? It was an information, the information becomes like a reality. You got information about the qabr, right? You got information about qiyamah, about jannat and jahannam. At this point, it's just an information. It hasn't come to the point of reality. Reality is something else, and information is something else. When you face to face with reality, you behave totally different. You hear of a snake is very dangerous, maybe some snakes around here, there might be a python around, right? But if a python comes here, what happens? All of us would run away. Everybody say, where's the gun? Someone trying to act brave, but he also will see that he is well armed before he comes near it. So we behave differently. Now, you're looking at Qiyamah as though it's there. Jannat before you, Jahannam before you. So that is a different picture altogether. You behave differently. Don't you behave? Now you hear, you know, you get, when you're coming to the masjid, for every step that you take coming to the masjid with wuzu, you get one sawab, and you're going to knock off one sin, and your status is going to be elevated one time. So, alright, one of those things, one day we'll do that as well. But if someone told you, you know, for every step that you take to istab, for every step that you take to istab, right, you'll get 10 rands, right? Only 10 rands, eh? That one sawab is greater than the entire dunya. The entire dunya, right? One sawab is so great, right? But if someone told you that for every step that you take to his shop, that he'll credit you with 10 rand cash, right? 10 rand cash plus darja, in other words, then he'll elevate you in this manner, he'll honor you in this manner, that for every step that you take, you'll get one cash 10 rand voucher. For every step that you take, right? What will happen to us? We'll look for the longest route to his shop, right? Is it a fact or not? Because that thing there we can relate to. The sawab we're not relating to. This thing here we relate to. Yeah, 10 rand, every step, 10 rand, 10 rand, 10 rand, you're counting it, right? We'll do two things, we'll take the longest route, and we'll take very small steps, you know, very, very small steps, measured very, very small steps, and then eventually we'll reach up. Is it a fact or not? Is it the truth or not? We look for the longest cut, and we'll take the smallest steps, because we relate to this thing here. The sawab, we don't relate to it. We don't know the magnanimity. We don't know the greatness of that one sawab. So therefore, one of those things, right? It comes, doesn't come. One of those things. I can do some other things to compensate. So your mind will go in a lot of circles. So, mashhood ko ma'loom ko mashhood banana hai. That which is an information, that information must become a reality. You must relate to it. I'm seeing it now. So we're talking of Mawla Murtaza Hassan. Ghulam Murtaza we're talking of, right? And he came to the Sheikh. So his Sheikh is telling him, you go and make istikhara, go and find out. And normally these mashayikh, that's what they do. You get two classes of people. One is that simple class, they just usher them. Simple, peasant, poor class, they just usher them. Because these people are straightforward, their minds are not filled with other information, clear in their minds. But a little bit of an educated class, his mind goes everywhere. His mind goes in every way. It's one point and he's clashing with the other point. One thing and the other information is clashing with this information. So there's a lot of things that are crowding your mind. When there are a lot of things that are crowding your mind, you can just usher the person in, and then his mind is crowded and clashing with all different type of stray thoughts, right? Then he's not going to have that type of motivation in him. You know, that force, that strength in him is not going to be there. And that is not going to be there in him because his mind is crowded with all his thoughts. So he needs to be taken in a different way. So therefore the mashayikh, when they're guiding such a person, they don't guide them very easily. They don't take them on very easily. They take them with a little bit of a delay. Say, now go and make istikhara, go and think about it, push them one side. Until they relax and think about it, and they show that they're going to give a commitment. So when they're giving a commitment, now they expect him to then follow the cause. Because his mind is now cleared up. So anyway, this Mulana Ghulam Murtaza, he went, and after 2-3 hours he came back. So now I made istikhara. Sheikh says, hey, but you know, other people, I ask them to make istikhara, they take 7 days, make wuzu, read namaz, sleep, see a dream or something, 7 days, 10 days, 12 days. But yeah, in 3 hours you're back. What happened? What did you see? He says, no. When I went, and I sat in total seclusion. Then I began to think to myself. I said, you know what? As it is, I'm leading a very free life. I'm not under any duress. I'm not subjugated. I'm not under anybody's control. I'm free. I'm going to go in, just jump into the car and move. Come, go, eat, drink, run around. I'm absolutely free. Now I'm going to take bayat. Then I'm going to be monitored. What did you do here? How did you do this? I'm going to be monitored. I have to report. I have to tell. I'm doing this. Now then I'm in bonds. Now I'm a free man. Then isn't that a sensible thing for a free person to be in bonds and to be in chain, to be monitored all the time? That you're going to be monitoring and reporting yourself to the sheikh all the time. That I'm doing this, I'm not doing this. You know, that time I went to that mall, my eyes went on to that girl, I spoke to her a little while. Hey, how embarrassing how embarrassing to report this. And that person there, I saw him in the masjid and his pants was below the ankles and I went and corrected him. But you know, whilst I was correcting, the sheikh is going to ask you, but when you were correcting him, did you think yourself to be superior than him? So he's thinking about it. He said, yeah, you know, I think so. I thought myself to be superior. Because, you know, what happened here is I had a personal vendetta with this person here. So I had to break him down. Show my superiority. I had a person. That person was also wearing his trouser under his ankle. But I didn't correct him. Because our relationship was good. And I didn't want to sour the relationship. But this person here had a grouse. I had some ill feelings, so I had to come in and knock him down. So I found the opportune moment to go and knock him down. Oh, that person there, I didn't correct him because I thought he's more wealthy, you know, he's more wealthy, influential, I may need something. So, therefore I didn't correct him. But this person, yeah, well, he's an ordinary person, living in the John Dolls or living in Chatswood somewhere. So I found him there, I just gave it to him. So, now the sheikh is going to cross-question you, he's going to examine you. When he's going to examine you, he's going to make out that by this person's niyat is not right. Outwardly it seems that he's doing the right thing. But really when you introspect the person, then he's not doing right, his intention is not right. He's thinking too much of himself. Now, I'm going to report all this, then I'm going to be in shackles, I'm going to be in chains. Now I'm a free person, I'm enjoying life, then I need to be in shackles. Is it worth the while? Now he's debating with himself. Now I can't do this, I can't do that. I have to do this ma'murat, read this type of Quran Sharif, make this zikr here. So I'm going to be in a routine. I'm going to be caught up. I'm not going to enjoy that freedom any longer. I have to go somewhere, I must ask the sheikh again. I'm going here. So, at least if I would really take the path, you see. One is now someone is coming in just to do the faraiz. So the one that is coming just to do the faraiz, what he'll do? He'll plan to go to Joburg. Otherwise, I'm going to Joburg. Tomorrow I'm going. So that's not ijazah, that's just information. Information is something else, and permission is something else. So you're planning to just get that tasawuf at a maktab level. In tasawuf they call it ijmali. Tasawuf ijmali. Else you're getting it at the maktab level, else you're getting the faraiz. You're not getting tasawuf tafsili. You're not getting it tafsili. You're getting ijmali just at the maktab level. At the primary level, that's also good, but that's just the first. You didn't move beyond the forest yet. So now he's debating with himself that is this the right move or not right move. Then he himself is telling, well, if I'm going to do this, you know what I'll get? I'll get Allah. So it's worth the while. I'm in shackles, I'm in chains, I'm in bonds. But at the end of the road, I'm getting the personal relationship, the personal attention. Innakum idhal laminal muqarrabin. You'll be the closest in rank to Allah Ta'ala. So what a big bargain. I mean, that's what we're living for. That when the dying time comes, then we are meeting Allah Ta'ala. He's pleased with us and we are pleased with Him. He's happy to receive us. He's embracing us and we're embracing Allah Ta'ala. We love Him and He's loving us. So that's what we're looking for. So then he says, yeah, well, that's a good point. But then what's the guarantee? You know, you're doing something, you're taking a big step in life. So you need to have a guarantee. What's the guarantee that you're going to get this? Now, that was a hard one. First two questions he could bypass. This third question here, that you're going to, one is you're going to lock yourself up, right? And keep yourself under his monitor, right? Second was, alright, your intention is to reach up to Allah Ta'ala, get the closest proximity to Allah Ta'ala. The relationship must be good with Allah Ta'ala, right? That was good. But then, when you are expending something, you know, outlaying cash, 100 million, 50 million, right? You're not just going to lay it out, then you need some guarantee. You're not going to just lay it out. You need some guarantee, some collateral, everything is in place. Then you will outlay that money. Now I'm going to do all this thing here. I'm going to give myself here. I'm going to strive, keep myself under shackle and chains. But then what is the guarantee that I'll get what I bargained for? So now that was a difficult one. So his mind, Allah inspired his mind. So he says, all right, I don't have a guarantee. But at least the man above will say that you tried dying. You died trying. You died trying. In other words, you came onto the right. You died. You tried. So he looked at me favorably. Because this is what Allah Pak wants. He wants, man arad al akhirata wa sa'alaha. Are you trying or not? Are you really, really spirited? Are you trying? According to your capacity, according to your means, according to your strength, according to your ability, according to your time, you are doing it. So he is looking at it this way. Okay, this man, alright, he didn't reach to the ultimate. But did he die trying? So if he sees us that we die trying, he will definitely look at us favorably because it's promise. أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَالَهَا سَعْيَهَا. He intends the akhirat, he intends jannat, and he's striving also in accordance with the sunnah to the best of his ability. How much he can do? Someone has got more time, so he's doing more 50 rakat namaz. So much of Quran Sharif. Someone has got a lot of obligations. He's got his wife, children, parents, everybody to look after. So he's doing according to his time. But all coming on the same cause. His obligations are more, his duties are more. He's trying also. His obligations are less. He's doing also. And then he's doing more than what this person is doing. So Allah Ta'ala is looking at it, but is the man trying or not? If he's trying, he's looking at you favorably. So you see, when Allah Pak has created man, right? Then Allah Pak has created man with two big challenges. Very big, mighty challenges He has created man with. One is emotion, right? One is temptation. Any man, no person can ever say that he doesn't have emotions, and nobody can say that he doesn't have temptations. Right? That emotions culminate, they show out. The fruit of emotion is love, right? Or anger, you know, emotion, not emotional. You saw something and you became very emotional. So what is the fruit? What is the result of it? Either you will show love or you will become angry, isn't it? You know, that person here, he robbed me. Your emotions run high. I'll fix him, I'll put him in his place. Don't you feel like that? Or you saw something that was very beautiful and very exciting, right? So the emotions went very high. So now, I need to love this thing here. Right? So the fruit of emotions is love, or it is anger, right? And the second thing that is within the creation of man is temptation. Right? Can anybody say, no temptation? You'll be like the column here, the brick wall here, right? No temptation. It's all rumor, nothing. What are those things? It's all nice food and all that, biryani, chocolate, whatever. But nothing, nothing doesn't make any difference. It doesn't reach out for it. You got temptations, right? Temptations, now everybody's temptations will be different. Hey, that place there, you know, in the Free State, Pizarre, hey, that business is running. Hey, gold mine, that's a gold mine. 35% you'll get returns. I say, you have no temptation. You will be tempted. Hey, 35% guaranteed. 35%, you know, hard work. Once in a year you can go and check the place out. 35% yours is guaranteed. Ask you, any normal person, any normal business person, won't his mouth water. He said, this is real, or is this Jannat? 35%. His mouth will definitely water, right? So we have got temptation, we can't rule that off. And we've got emotions, we can't rule that off. Both we have got. Every man has got it. Right. The month of Ramadan comes in, what it comes in? It comes in to control, to teach us control and discipline on the temptation and on the emotion. Because if you let that emotion go wild, or the temptation go wild, then there'll be disaster in the world. If you let your emotion go wild, right, you're very angry with the person, you just pull out your gun and you shot him. Emotions had the bet over you, you shot him point blank. You put yourself into problems. You can't rule it off that you don't have emotions. You have that emotion, that emotion has to be expressed. But that emotion has to be expressed, but must be controlled, disciplined. The same token, now you've got temptation that you're not controlling it. You saw something, or a woman you saw in the middle of the street, right? Now the emotions that bet over you, then you'll act like a monkey. You see that monkey, the whole group of monkeys, the grandfather, grandmother, sister, daughter, everybody, one is jumping onto the other, and free for all. There's no control to the temptation. No control to the emotions, no control to the temptation. Now man has got both. And man is required, that this both, you have to put it into a disciplinary program. Temptation also you need to discipline it, and emotions also you need to discipline it. If you're not going to control, not going to discipline it, then you're going to put yourself into serious problems. You're going to put yourself into disaster, into problems, into difficulties. So Allah Ta'ala brought about with His mercy, with His kindness, He's brought about the month of Ramadan. That your emotions, you're not going to run away, you're not going to allow your emotions to run away with you, right? A lot of things, you will have to suppress your emotions. You want to eat, you know, just suppress it. Temptation, just suppress it. You can't have any relationship. That also you have to control, this after you have to control. So Allah puts you into a program. Whole month of Ramadan, you control your temptation, you control your emotions, right? Both you have to control. After a reasonable amount of time has been spent in controlling you get some idea of control, some idea of discipline you get, right? But in that Allah Pak also understands, Allah Pak knows, that you don't only need to control this thing here, you need to create the fire of motivation with you, the fire that will charge you, right? So one is you are controlling and you're disciplining yourself, right? And with that disciplining, then Allah Pak knows that you have to create a charge within you. You need to create a fire within you. So for the fire that is going to be created now, Ramadan dried you up, right? Fasted and is drying you up. But now you need the charge. You need the fire. So you're going to read Taraweeh Namaz. Read Quran Sharif. So that's going to be the charge. Now after Ramadan, if you just maintain all that principles, you'll see you're going very smoothly for the entire year. I love it to face.